series is that we're talking about faith that works. That's the name of it, but putting our faith, what we believe, into practical application. And James is all about that. Now, the book of James isn't just do this, don't do this, you should think about that. It's really helping us. He really helps us on how we think. If you remember from last week, James says, consider, right? Consider it pure joy, right? When you face trials. And he's having us think some things so that we can act a certain way. Because how we think matters as to how we engage with others, how we connect with God, what we do in our life. And so theology, of course, is how we think about God, how we think about ourselves. And there's lots of different avenues and applications. It's theology, but it's also something that we practice, okay? Because if you have something you believe and you don't put it into practice, what good is it? And James will say that. What good is it? And so James really, really helps us to think not just how to think Christianly, but how to behave as one who has faith in various contexts and various ways. And so that's what the book of James is all about. And last week he was talking about trials. Remember that? Yeah. Yay, trials. Trials typically come from the outside. These are things that come kind of at us. They can be as trivial as, I don't know, the vacuum cleaner at your house when you're trying to study and runs around your feet and you're irritated because it is exactly where you want to be all the time. Not that that ever happens to me. Trivial as, I don't know, not getting your parking spot and all this stuff. Or it can be as difficult as a car accident or a deer hitting you when you're riding a bike or some type of cancer or illness or some family tragedy or, you know, relationships that go crazy. There's just all types of stuff. These are trials. Now, in our passage for today, James shifts going from trials, which are exterior, to temptations that come from our heart. And so he knows that the exterior trials that we all have do morph in time to tempt us in interior temptations. These are the things that come at us from within us. It's no longer, and James knows this, just about what's happening to us. It becomes about what's happening inside us, which ultimately matters most. And so that's where James, the author of this passage, this book, inspired, of course, and directed by the Holy Spirit, takes us next. And so in wrestling with this passage, and it's just a short passage today, I want us to consider some things. Primarily, I want us to focus in on who God is. And I said this to our prayer group this morning. I've preached this passage numbers of times. I don't think I have preached it accurately or fully, and recognizing that this passage really isn't about us watching out for temptation. This passage really is helping us to understand God correctly, which then helps us to see temptations for what they are. That's a big shift for me, and hopefully you'll see that. So we're going to read this passage, our passage for today, and then we'll just park on some of them and look at some pieces that I want us to consider. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to remind us of these things. Okay, so if you have a Bible, go ahead, open it up. James chapter 1. We're going to start today with verse 13. Last week, of course, we went up to 12. So we're going to do 13 through 18. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we have one for you right in front of you. It's one of the blue books right in front of you. You can turn to page 1043. So James is near the back. Page 1043, James chapter 1. And we're just going to deal with this section today, 13 through 18. So Hopefully you're there. I have it also on the screens if that'll be helpful for you. And I want you to notice that it talks about God, it talks about temptation, and then it goes back to God's character. So it's a kind of a theological sandwich, which means that the temptation needs to be seen in the light of God's character. And perhaps you haven't thought about them that way, but I hope that you will after today as we work through this. So here we go, James chapter 1, starting with verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil. It's good to know. You may want to underline that. Nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each person by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when that grows up and becomes greater and greater, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. James goes on and says, now don't be deceived, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Okay? That's what we're going to look at this morning. So the first thing I want us to consider from this passage, number one, is to refuse. Refuse to blame God when temptation arises, when it comes our way. Again, verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God's tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, I don't know about you, but do you think that way? When a temptation comes, you think, this is God tempting me. Apparently, sometimes we think this way. Apparently, this is an issue because James corrects us with this, saying, hey, now when you're tempted, don't blame it on God, right? Now, you may not overtly vocalize it. God, you're tempting me, right? It might not be the thing that's kind of most central in your mind, but unfortunately, there's something very subtle that may be happening in our thoughts when we're tempted. And I have heard things like this. Well, God didn't protect me enough because I am in this situation and I gave in because God didn't give me the strength. Or, God knows me, and he obviously put this in my path, so therefore it's okay for me to indulge in X, Y, or Z. And ultimately, and James addresses this later on in this passage, temptation works on our thoughts about who God is. There's a seed in the fruit of the apple, if I can put it that way, Adam, Eve, that has a very subtle lie. I know this is out of bounds, but I need this right now, or it won't hurt anybody, or, you know, that's something good that I should have in my life. Subtly, we're saying that God is holding out on us. If God really loved me, he would give me more money. So therefore, this money right here is from him or that person or fill in the blank. James is addressing us here. saying at the root of temptation is something evil. And then we can morph in if God becomes someone that we blame for our trials, for our temptations. If we start to blame God, why did this abuse happen? Why did my husband walk out on me? Why did my mom do that? Why did my, right? Why God? Right? Trust him or run to him or approach him or honor him or praise him or magnify him. You kind of see how that works. And so James, right from verse 13, says, hey, number one, let me tell you something about God. God cannot be tempted by evil. Right? That's a good thing. Right? If God could be tempted by evil, we're all in trouble. It would not be a good thing if, you know, God had a bad day, said, I'm tired of all these humans, or I'm tired of whatever. An all-powerful God that is not all good is really awful. James establishes again here, and you'll see this all throughout scriptures, that God is not evil. Actually, he is the essence of what is good and right. Granted, we don't always understand that, and that is the struggle of our life, right? That was the struggle of Adam and Eve right from the beginning. That is the original temptation. Remember that? I'm going to move this because I am messing with it, okay? The original lie was, I don't know if you can trust him, Eve. God is holding out on you. Eve, did you see that tree in the middle of the garden, which, by the way, God put there? Okay, just think about that. Why? Okay, God put it there. Look at it. It's beautiful. And she noticed it. It is beautiful. Hey, look at the fruit. It looks like it'll be helpful to you. And you know what? It'll give you knowledge. You'll be like him. God's holding out on you. I don't know if you can trust his goodness. Eve, why don't you reach out and see what it's all about? In every temptation, that lie is impregnated somewhere. This is what James is pointing at. And he reminds us, hey, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That should help us know that when there is a temptation, it's not coming at us because of God bringing it to your attention. So number one, we must refuse to blame God when temptation arises. Now second, James helps us then to say this, recognize how, this is an intentional phrase, unruled desire becomes deadly, right? And we know how this works. And often I've camped on these verses, and there is truth for us here to understand. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away. Lured away. By what? Their own evil desires and enticed. Temptation, by the way, is always personal. Each person is tempted by what? Their own evil desire or their own desire. Now, your temptation might be different than my temptation. But the truth is, we all have a desire for something that we know is out of bounds. You may have a temptation towards money, that you do whatever you can to get it. You may have a temptation of being, here's a good religious one, self-righteous, right? Thinking that you're better than others. Your temptation might be to become self-centered, right? Thinking that the world and your spouse and everything owes you something. Right? Now there's temptations towards all types of addictive things. And I often say, you can pick your poison, right? It's plenty. Overspending to overeating to anger to all types of drugs and alcohol to pornography or to whatever, right? It's there. Ultimately, we know these things aren't good for us, right? But yet, we walk in their direction. So what happens? Verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, right? Desire has conceived, it's done an action. It then, this language is interesting, conceiving, giving birth, gives birth to sin, okay? Sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Wowzers. Now, I occasionally like fishing, and when I've taught this passage, I have brought in a fishing pole, if you remember, right? Fishing is fun, okay? It's also frustrating. It can be super exhilarating and super boring, right? What the deal is, you try to go to where you think the fish are, get all your gear and your waders or your boat or your whatever you're doing, right? And you try to get a bait in which you think the fish will like the most, right? Now, fish aren't the smartest creatures, okay? They're very hungry, right? But often, if you have a live bait, that works a little bit better because they know that that thing at least has some life in it. There's artificial baits, right? Looks like all types of things, from little ducks to fish to crabs, all types of stuff. The deal is you try to convince the fish, based on their desire for food, that what is offered to them will satisfy them and give them life. Okay, catch this. And so you tailor the bait for a certain fish. Oh, I know that these ones love croakers, and I'm going to put it down there, crabs or whatever you're doing. And the fish, out of its desire, sees this and figures, this is something I need, this is something I want, this is something that will get me life, and then off it goes. Little unbeknownst to the fish, there's a hook in it. And from that hook, there's a string attached to someone who is bigger and stronger than them, often on land or in a boat, that once it's hooked, that fish knows it and it fights. And the more it fights, the more it tires out. Sometimes it gets free, okay, but most of the time it doesn't. And it can fight as much as it wants, but in the end, it's going to go to a place it never intended to go. Temptation is a lot like that. A lot like that. Initially, it looks good, right? Initially, it tastes good. And if you're ocean fishing, we do something called chumming. You guys know what this is? It's disgusting. I'm going to throw this story in. You're like, Dave, keep moving. Where's Lee? I know you're going to say, keep moving. I'm watching you, Lee. But it is a story. I know you like those, okay? Chum, by the way, is you put this all this fish guts and junk together and you put it out there and it goes into the water. So the fish get freebies, right? They're like, hey, this is good. And then they get confident and then they hit anything that's in that, we call it a chum slick. This way you put your bait in it and so it doesn't know the difference. And they're like, ah, I got food, 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 and all these fishes come and I got to get it before somebody else does. And wham, and then wham, right? And then we're holding up a big fish. That's how that works. Sometimes it looks initial like, hey, it's going to be okay. Oh, that really didn't hurt. Oh, that wasn't so bad. Be it a second look. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Or second guessing or, yeah. And then one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing, leads to another thing. This is how addictions work, right? And all of a sudden you get hooked. And all of a sudden you're going places you never intended to go. That desire, when it took a bite of the forbidden fruit, takes way more than you ever thought it would. One thing leads to another. Desire, when conceived, when we connect with this thing, gives birth to sin. That's the action. And then sin will drag us and pull us. Ultimately gives birth to death. And when I say death, there's kind of four ways to look at death. We become cold and unresponsive emotionally. Hear me. There's an emotional death that happens, right? I've seen it in particular with pornography and other things. Become cold and emotionally unresponsive. It can be relationally dead, where you lie about something or somebody, or you have a bad thought about them, you become angry and you become cold, right? Unresponsive. It can happen, we know this physically, sometimes there's addictions and sometimes there are things that lead to physical death where we're no longer able to move because our spirit's left, or of course there's spiritual death. These things don't happen typically all at once. And that's the subtlety of it. One step leads to another step. Leads to another step. And sometimes we get so far away from home, we don't know where we are anymore, and we don't know how to get back. This is how it works. And these temptations not coming from God, okay, come. There's trials that come at us that we must persevere through and consider these things. And then there's internal temptations that actually reveal our heart and the sense of reveals who we trust. God, I'm going to trust you that what you say is better. And the deal is, desire indulged becomes sin tolerated. And off we go. You and I, we have been down that trail. I have been down that trail. James warns us, look, think not about the temptation, but bigger and deeper and more importantly, about the nature of God. God isn't testing you. Excuse me. God isn't tempting you. But it reveals who we are. And is God good? And can we trust him? James talks about this in verse 16, returning. Reject false thoughts about God's intentions. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, in the past when I've preached this, I connected this to temptation. Don't be deceived by temptation, okay? That's not actually what this verse is pointing to. I just realized that today at 52 years old, right? I was like, oh my word, this is not talking about temptation. This is about talking about don't be deceived about God's character. who he is, okay? And James points this out and says, hey, don't be deceived. Don't think that God is tempting you, and don't think that God is holding out on you, right? He goes on to say, hey, everything good that you have in your life is a gift from God. God gives us good gifts. And whatever this temptation is, Eve, whatever this thing is, and he says, hey, don't participate in, means that that thing isn't good for us. Not good for us. Doesn't mean that God's trying to hold out on you. Well, if God loved me, he would have gave me a better spouse or better children or a better job or a better body or a better whatever. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. God is for you, not against you. Now, does that mean that everything will go well with you and everything will work perfectly? We know the answer to that. No. But God is doing much greater in you and through you and around us. He's doing much more than we can think or imagine. And all things will be made clear in eternity. But now we stand on the word of truth. Now we stand on faith. And we recognize where sin will lead us and where the desires come from. God, help us to put my desires under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Unsubmitted. We have to submit our desires to God. That helps us to get away from temptation. This doesn't work. I don't want to sin. 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 Doesn't work. Why? You know what you're thinking about? Sin. Right? What helps us is to think about God. This is where your theology becomes practical. God, I trust you that you've given me good things. God, I trust that I don't have to take this for myself because I'm looking to you to help me in my situation. Okay? That helps. Maybe we make it really, 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 really practical. Okay? So, here it is. So, I'm at the, Snooks, right? They don't have magazines anymore. They used to have magazines, right? Do they have magazines anymore? Maybe. Okay. Example, you guys are looking at me. Okay. Hey, you should look at me. Or someone's looking a certain way. I'm like, oh, okay. Instead of me saying, oh, I shouldn't look, I shouldn't look, I shouldn't look, should I look? Know what I think about? God, how much God gave me a good person in my life, right? Instead of thinking about, oh, look at how good they look, start praying for their soul. You replace with what you don't want with something that you want, and you focus on that. Does that, you understand that? Okay. God, help me to be a man who loves you. God, help me to be a man who represents you well. God, help me to be a man who walks according to your word. That will work versus, oh man, I shouldn't do that. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. Look at that. You understand? Fill in the blank. And this is how James is helping us. Number one, understand what temptation does and where it's going to bring you, and it always does. But know that it is held within. God's not tempting you, and God is good. Will you trust him? Trust him to meet your needs. Trust him to give you the strength. Trust him for the good gifts that he gives you. Anchor your trust, this is the next point, in the unchanging giver. Every good and perfect gift, verse 17, is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights who created all things, who does not change like shifting shadows. God always gives good things. God is generous to you. And the truth is that every good, again, and perfect gift comes from him. Understand that. Now, in this world, it's tainted. In this world, we have trials. He says, hey, when temptation comes. He doesn't say if temptation comes. I wish there would be a day in which you don't have to deal with temptation any longer, right? There was a famous author just 2 weeks ago. Do you guys see this? I'm not trying to cast shade on him. A guy I've written many of his books. I've read many of his books. Did I say written? Read many of his books. Disappointed about God. Amazing grace. What's so amazing about grace? Married 55 and a half years, according to his wife. 15 million books read by Christians all over the place. One of the founders of Christianity Today. He's having an affair for 8 years at his age. You see scandals often, right? And unfortunately and tragically, this one hit me a little bit different. What? 55 and a half years? Be careful. If you think you're going to stand, be careful that you might fall. So how do we be careful? How do we get through trials and temptation? How do we have a faith that works? Continuing to trust. Continuing to draw close to God and His character. God, You are good, and I'm going to trust You. Now, does it always feel like it's good? Absolutely not. But the lie is that there's something that God is holding out on you. And so these things come, and when they come, they reveal not just what we do, but what we believe. And James ends this section this way, saying, live from the reality that God gave you life. Using the same language that desire had, that gave when it conceived, give birth to sin. Sin, when it grows up, brings death. In reversal in verse 18, God chose to give us birth or new birth through what? The word of truth. Who's that? That's actually Jesus, by the way. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. He gave us a new birth through the word of truth. That is, we believe the truth about God. God so loved the world, right? Jesus lived rightly, righteously, because He's part of the Trinity, God Himself. And believing in Him, that word of truth comes to us, giving us new birth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Fruit that grows, fruit that reproduces. I don't know what all eternity will entail. I know that there will not be any more sin or sorrow or sickness. I do know that every tear will be dried, wiped away. Which means that we're going to have perspective on our one and only life. Our very, very short life, by the way. I looked in the mirror and I said, who is that guy? Looks like my father. No hair, gray hair, wrinkles everywhere. Body not working like it once did. How did that happen so fast? Happens to us all. But I know that there's going to be true life that lasts forever. I know that in the kingdom to come, it'll all be made new and it'll all make sense. I'm going to end with this story. I'm going to throw it in. Well, I'll do a little conclusion as well. When I was young, I had three stepbrothers. So it was three brothers when I grew up. I was the oldest of my biological brothers, and then we had three stepbrothers. And at a young age, my oldest stepbrother committed suicide. And I remember an illustration. And are you guys familiar with what a tapestry is? You guys know what that is? Tapestries are typically, if you have one, you don't see them hardly anymore, but they're weavings that are put together in a picture or a kind of rug of sort. And on one side, if it's done well, it's beautiful, right? A country scene or something majestic or something. Have you ever looked at the backside of those things? It's a mess, right? There's like strings all over the place and, you know, all this type of stuff. And you look at it from the backside and you can kind of make things out, right? Well, I think that's a tree. And that, but it's not clear, and it's not all put together, and it's not all understandable. We often live life viewing the tapestry from this side. At one moment, it's going to be flipped around. And we're going to understand. And we're going to see clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that we don't see clearly now, but someday we will. So will you continue to trust him in the middle of trials and temptations that God is good? Okay. That's the point. And so I don't know what your fill-in is going to be this week. I don't know what you're specifically tempted by or in. But I know it's going to be there when you go home. Or when you go to work. I don't want you to focus in on the temptation, but I want you to think about what you believe about that temptation. Why am I tempted by this? And I pray that you see it for what it is, but more importantly, I pray that you see God for who he is. Right? God wants life for you. God wants good things for you. God will help you to resist, yes, but to live. Not just resist temptation, but to truly live. To come alive again. And maybe your prayer is, God, help me to become alive again. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, relationally, physically. God, help me to trust you in this. So I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to switch to communion. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Why don't we come up during the prayer? Okay. So let's pray right now, think. Take just a breath. Think about today. Think about this passage. Think about your thoughts about God. So God, we heard a passage today, read something from your Holy Spirit ultimately, written by a guy who knew Jesus, who loved the church. God, I know this passage was written a long time ago, but it is 100% relevant to us today. Father, you know every person here. They are friends of mine, most of them, God, or hopefully soon to be friends. They are sons and daughters of sons and daughters of yours. God, will you help us, number one, to understand who you are rightly and truly? Help us to rest and trust you, that you will help us to see you for who you are. And in so doing, God, may our hearts be warmed towards you and cold towards the hooks of this world. May we say, God, I trust you in this. Help me to see your character here. And God, I know that you will help us in that. May the hooks be removed, God. But most importantly, may we see you clearly and not believe any lies about you. So help us in these things as we turn again to communion and to consideration.